Our God is good. Oh, hallelujah. I said, our God is good. You may be seated. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominions and kingdoms and every other name that is named, not only in this world, but in the heavens, on the earth, beneath the earth, and in the worlds to come. He is eternally faithful, eternally mighty. Amen. We celebrate him. We celebrate his goodness. Amen. Well, as we go into the word, you know, God is good. And that's one of the biggest revelations you'll ever get in your life, that God is good. And he's good. In spite of whatever you're going through, in spite of what you faced, you've been through, he is a good God. He is a good God. He is good. Oh my God. Serve a good God. If you knew the alternatives, you would thank God for his goodness more. I say, Pastor, you don't know my journey. I don't. I know there are twists and turns in the journey. But if you know that there are people who have fallen in those twists, they never recovered on the turns. But you did. You know he's good. You know, sometimes when I want to complain, when my brain thinks a certain way, I tell myself, Blaze, it is his goodness that has given you the capacity to be able to process that thought. You know, there are people who cannot, their brains have not matured enough to be able to process thoughts to know that this thing is going so off. But God, you have the ability to process. So don't use that to process and diminish him out of it. Don't know who I'm talking to, but he's good. He's good. He's good. Talking to a sister whom I prayed for this morning without mentioning the name. Going through a very tough pregnancy. I went through a very tough pregnancy. I don't know how many of you have heard about ectopic pregnancies that did not properly implant and it almost took her life away. And she's still in excruciating pain weeks later. And then you think about it, how that you can, your own pregnancy may come with morning sickness. The person with ectopic pregnancy will take morning sickness anytime, any day. Are you hearing me, somebody? So, never, ever, ever look at the circumstances, judge God, judge his goodness and his faithfulness. No. It could be worse. So to this sister, if you're watching, I tell her, it is only a woman who is alive who can bear another child. It's only a woman who is alive who can bear another child. Those are people who have not survived it. But God is good and he is faithful. Hallelujah. Okay, well, to every one of you was young. Well, not young, whether young or not. But every one of you, everyone here is young. Every single one. Yes. David said a young man should die at 80, at 100 or 70, a young person. So if you're not 70 yet, or you're not 80 yet, you're still young. Okay?
You'll be older than me, but you're still young. Always look around you. If you're single, there's a lot of single people unavailable. Yeah. You know, I would say that in the right order. Look around you sometimes. Yes. Look around you. When you see somebody, they catch your eye. The Bible says, watch and pray. Open your eyes as you pray. Don't close your eyes. By the time you close your eyes, finish, somebody else will come and whisk them. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not part of my preaching. It's just I'm seeing a lot of beautiful people, a lot of handsome people who are good. Yes, a lot of beautiful people. Great potential spouses. Don't leave them and go to the nightclub and pick one day. They'll come with a knife. Mm-hmm. They'll not be a wife. They'll come with a knife. They will make your life a night. Anyway. So let's go to the word. It's our Christmas service, but we are talking about generosity, praise God. And it is in order because Isaiah chapter number 9. We'll begin from verse number 1 as we go into. So last week Sunday we talked about the principles of generosity. So generosity, we have there are a lot of things we could explore on. We have the principles of generosity. We have the spirit of generosity, which that's what we're going to be looking at today. And these are just, I'm just touching on them briefly. Then we have the motivation of generosity. Then we have the practice of generosity, or the practice of giving. And you need to understand them in that order. Okay, you have the principle of seed time and harvest, which is the principle of giving. We have the spirit of generosity, or the spirit of giving. Then we have the practice of giving, which talks about motivation. Then we have the power of giving. And we have the fruits, or the results of giving. Praise God. So, and we said that God, last week Sunday, we said that seed time and harvest is a principle set in motion by God. We looked at it from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the book of the beginning. And I talked to you about the law of first mention. If you want to see something that God teaches us and orders, there's the first mention. Whenever you see something is mentioned by God the first time in scripture, you want to pay attention to that, the order, the way it was mentioned, and the context in which it was mentioned, and what happened when it was mentioned. So we saw that seed was first mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, for our sustenance. Amen. Then the law of seed time and harvest was mentioned in place. It's just like the law of gravity. It doesn't matter whether you're white, you're black, you're tall, you are short, how anointed you are or not anointed you are, if you jump up, you're going to come down. It's a law. It's a law of gravity. And, you know, that's a natural law. And those laws are confined to the earth. And so in Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 21, this is just from last week's Sunday, because I want to go into the spirit of generosity. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21, it says, and the Lord smelled smoking aroma. Let's go to verse 20, please. And this is just a recap, and I take this time to say that because sometimes people are not there and they don't go to learn to build for themselves that foundation. You see, church, it is not just me preaching at you. It is helping to teach you something. Amen. It's a building blocks. There's a reason why when you go to school, you go to pre-kindergarten, they teach you certain things. Or right now there is even, before you even go to pre-kindergarten, there are other things you start learning. You start learning, they start seeing whether you have your motor skills, your power skills. They start checking that on children. Then you go to pre-K, you start learning your alphabets and all of that. Then you go to kindergarten, you learn different things. So that by the time you're going to elementary school and you go to high school, middle school, high school, college, you are able to still use the basics. Do you know in college what you use is what you learn in pre-K? If you skip steps, I was talking with some individuals yesterday about people who skip steps. Then they go to a certain level. Even though they have matured in age and matured in brain, they are facing difficulties, not because they are dumb or foolish, but simply because they skip certain steps. Let me give you some of you from, not just from Africa. I think that affects a lot of people everywhere. How many of you here hate maths? There are some people who hate maths. And I think it seems to be particularly ladies for some strange reason. And if you really look at it, it is not that you are not able to do math. It is that somewhere there was a step that was skipped. And that convinced you that you are not good enough to do math. So you always look at it like you look at it with a difficult subject. Let me say this to you. This is good preaching because I am talking. We're talking. We're learning. Okay? We're laying some foundation. My uncle's daughter in secondary school, we call it back home Form 2. I think that should be like 8th grade or 9th grade, went to school, flunked math really bad. And so I was teaching her, we had a table tennis board, and I was teaching her in the garage. And they asked me to teach her. So she was like, Uncle Blaise, every time I see those X and Y's, my stomach just starts churning, and I would just like throw up. So real quick, I realized that what her problem was the way it went. So I stopped using X and Y's. I started using things that she knew. And she was able to solve the problems easily. So I told her, I said, the way you go do this is, okay, whenever you see X and Y, just decide that it's not X. Change it and put something else. Put something you like. And then you'll solve the problem easily. A simple equation, X plus Y equal 3, you can, it doesn't make sense. You can't solve that equation. Or X plus 2Y equal 3. Okay, then just substitute. Take that X, keep it out. You like bananas? In the place of X, put bananas. So one banana plus two avocados or two oranges or two apples equal 3. So then it says solve for X. So you already see, you've already had the solution. What is the solution? So I'm talking about these things, keeping steps, because sometimes in church that's what people don't do. So our theology is disjoint. There is a gap missing. So you see, we talk about the practice of giving or the practice of generosity, but you don't understand the principles, you don't understand the spirit of it, you don't understand the motivation of it. So practice becomes difficult because that's what has been taught. So you are now antagonized against giving. Not because you are not a generous person, or because you're not a giver, because where you learned giving, you learned from the middle. You had give to your pastor, give to your church, and that's all you ever knew. And it's not just you, but it's also the thing that the teachers did not take time to teach you first, to start with 1 + 1 = 2. They just went with quadratic equations. You've not been able to solve a simple equation, and now they start giving you they all of a sudden you look at it like, oh no, this is not for me. Yeah. This is not. So for that reason, you start separating yourself. I'm not a science student, I'm an art student. You know, my mind works in this way. And somehow, some of you, Dr. Delia, you've been able to go to nursing school and do all of those things, even though you never believed. Somehow, Pastor Esther had that issue. I bought a math book that you read it. You read it. And she was able to do college algebra herself with no help. I refused to help her. I'm a very good husband. You call me baby. It's not baby on this one. And she got a B for it. I said, okay, now you can be proud of your B. Because you earned it. You earned it. You know, it's not an A that you did not earn. And then you go to class now and the thing slaps you. Because you've given it to everybody. If you're one of those people who practice that one by sending your things for other people to do, make sure you know it because you'll meet it somewhere. Praise the Lord. That's a revelation. So, Isaiah chapter 69, chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, now concerning, chapter 9, verse 1. My own Bible is in, I think it changed on its own, it went to 1 Corinthians. So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. I said, no, that's not it. He says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. Do you understand that? The gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. That's grace right there. So you may be distressed, you may be carrying a lot of weight, but it's not showing on your face. You've gone through the fire, but you don't smell smoke. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her with distress as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And they rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. According to the joy of what? Harvest. So there is a joy that is a joy of harvest. Remember when we talk about the principle of generosity or the principle of seed time and harvest time, before there is the joy of harvest, there is the joy of the seed. Hallelujah. And I'm talking to you about Christmas. This is a Christmas message. Some people don't know generosity has something to do with Christmas. And it's not just buying gifts and giving to people, even though that is part of it, but it has something to do with Christmas. It says, they rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garment rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Hallelujah. The child was born, but in that child a son was given. We're talking about giving, the spirit of giving. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is yea. Your word is amen. As we look into the perfect law of liberty today, we ask, O God, that you flood our eyes with light. Teach us your ways, O God, that when we leave this place, we will be like the disciples on the way to Emmaus, who said, the Lord has been with us. But the difference will be that surely we did know it, and we do know that you are here with us. Amen. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we said that God, in his magnificence, giving as a principle, God established it. But he didn't just establish it. He first gave. He being God, was the first one to be able to manifest his giving. Amen. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. His giving is motivated by his love. So he so loved the world that he gave. Hallelujah. As you see in this engagement of Pastor Victor and Chisholm, Chisholm received something. It's a ring. That's a token of my love for you. And gave that to say, this one is reserved. And that ring is not cheap. You know, love gives. Hallelujah. I use that as an example because it is practical. It is here. It is in your face. Love gives. You know, and when you get married, you do exchange rings, which cost money. Of course, those are symbols of love. But again, when you are really in love, you do give without somebody asking of you. You're motivated to, you are, there is in your heart the willingness to want to share, to want to care, to express your love for the other person by giving to them. Praise God. So looking at the spirit of giving, we're going to turn our Bibles this morning as we see, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. So God gave to us and in his son Jesus Christ, and which continues to talk about this principle of generosity, because God did not only talk to us about giving, but he also demonstrated to us his giving nature. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the spirit of generosity or the spirit of giving, it can also be referred to as the grace of giving, because the spirit is simply the grace. When they say somebody has a sweet spirit, this person has a sweet spirit. It simply means that there is a certain grace that they carry. There's a certain aroma that they have. Praise God. So let me say this to you. Giving can be learned. You can learn giving. Know that. You can learn giving. And you can grow in your giving. You can learn giving. You can learn generosity. I had a friend. This guy was very selfish. Very selfish. I mean, everybody in the dormitory knows that this guy was not. But I have seen him learn giving. And he's very generous right now. You can learn giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning from verse number 1. We're talking about the grace of giving, or the spirit of giving, the spirit of generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning from verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And I want you to pay attention to this. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Wow. They had an abundance of distress. They had an abundance of joy. And they had deep poverty. They had an abundance of joy and deep poverty. And the Bible says it abounded in the riches of their liberality. See, well, it talks about liberality. They didn't say nothing. Let's go on. Verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Willing. Spirit of giving. Any giving that you do out of pressure is not done with the right spirit. They were what? Freely willing. There was something that they understood. Now, by the way, understand this. Paul was writing this letter to a church that was very spiritual. They had all the spiritual gifts there, but they were not a generous church. It's not Living Word. He was writing to the church in Corinth. If you went to the church in Corinth, they could see and tell you what you, they could tell you your address, they could tell you what way you passed this morning. In fact, they had so many prophets in that church, Paul had to put order in how they prophesy. So prophesy in order, one by one. They let the others judge. They had charismatic gifts and power. Power gifts were in that church. A lot. But they were not givers. They were not generous. They didn't have the grace. And that church was a troubled church. Hey. You know,
First and Second Corinthians are the longest letters that Paul wrote. In fact, and there is another letter that is alleged that Paul wrote, which is not featured there. And he wrote to them. There was, hey, let me tell you this. Secret. Hear me. The height of Christian maturity is not the spiritual gifts you manifest. That church, they had spiritual gifts. But there was a lot of immorality in that church. Every kind of sexual sin you heard addressed in the Bible, if you want to, it's in that church right there, First Corinthians, in the church at Corinth. Yet they could prophesy. So sometimes you look at people, they're spiritual. No. The height of your spirituality is love. Yes. Yes, love is the height of Christian maturity. In fact, Paul even wrote to that church and began to tell them. So he began to write. He says that these people were generous. Let's go back to verse 3 so that we pick our train of thought there. Verse 3. So for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Verse 4. They were imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. They were begging to give. Please, come and collect. Take. You know, some people who love God, they like to come to church when offering is over. In fact, they don't want to come to church because they don't want to hear this kind of message. Like, pastor will finish this and raise an offering. Of course, we've already done offering. So here, pastor, we're not twisting your arms. Freely. Because we have to establish some principles. And establish some things. He said they were imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. The spirit of giving begins when you first of all give yourself to God. And when I talk about give yourself to God, as I'm talking to the church, because the church that Paul was writing to, they had given their lives to Christ. So we're not talking about they gave themselves as to they were born again. In other words, nothing owned them. They knew that they were stewards of what God had given to them. So they gave themselves freely to God. They gave themselves first to the Lord. In other words, Father, I am grateful for the amazing resources, opportunities, intellect, ability, beauty that you have endowed me with. All is yours. I am yours. And everything that I steward is yours. I am privileged to enjoy the use of it while I have it. But wherever you need it, Lord, I am willing to spread it out. That's what's called stewardship. So they gave themselves. So they knew that they were stewards, custodians of what it was that the leader that they controlled, they knew that they were stewards of it. Amen. Amen. You know, when people are not generous, and this applies, it's not just in church, it's not just in giving to church, it's not about giving offering. When people are not generous, it is because the thing that they cannot let go has them and has control over them. They don't have control over it. So people get in relationships with people, unfortunately, who are not generous. So they don't have value for you. They look at you, you're not valuable enough to where they could let go of everything. They don't look at what I own is yours, what you own is mine. So they are not generous. They are always looking for how to take from you. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Always looking for how to take. And unfortunately, if you are not married and you ever get into a relationship where they are just taking, please reconsider your steps, because they will suck you dry and they will leave you hanging. Are you hearing me, somebody? Look what people will care for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not just he's cute. He's cute, but he's cute and selfish. Cute and self-centered. That is a recipe for disaster. If they are cute and they cannot give, hey, run. And when I say they give, it's not about that they have a lot of money. If they cannot give of the little that they do have now, there's a problem. Some of them will always live in the future. You know, the future is always plenty, right?
Yeah.
They give you promises in the future. Now, with the little that they have, they're not doing anything. Just forget it. Sometimes you call them, hey, listen. Where is this going to? That future is not coming. So, you know, next year I will do this, I will do that. It's always next year. You know, next year is no time. Next year is not 2024. When you get into 2024, next year is 2025. When I get much money, what is much money? Because when you get $100, it's much money compared to somebody who has $10. But then, $200 or $500 is much money compared to the person who has $100. Okay? The Bible says, and not only as we had hoped. So there was a hope in Paul and apostles that they would do something. He said, but not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Verse 6. We're going somewhere. What is this? So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you. In other words, Paul is saying the spirit of generosity that has imbibed this church, we have asked Titus to come, and Titus came to begin this grace in you, but we want him to cultivate it so that you grow therein. Hallelujah. Now there are people who their natural disposition is not generosity. You know that, right? Oh yes, there are people who, everybody have their natural disposition. There are people who are more prone to anger. Some people are more prone to smiling. Some people smile naturally, easily. Some people, they don't know how to smile. So they have to make an effort to smile. You have to tell them, smile. Smile again. You look good when you smile. You know, you look so much better when you smile. Smile, smile. So there are some people whose natural disposition is not giving. They don't know how to. Then there are some people who, you just come around them, they are busy, they will always give. Always. Even when they are looking for ways. Always. They are hospitable. It doesn't matter what your natural disposition is. You can learn. It says that as he had begun, so he will complete this grace in you also without exception. You can become better at giving. Don't say, Pastor, that's my weakness. If it's your weakness, then work on it. Grow. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when Pastor Victor was talking about writing a check for $1 million, some people said, like, you just hear that it passes. Now, if you don't have $1 million, you can't write a check for $1 million, right? If you don't have more than that, you can't write a check for $1 million. But now, if you are willing to do it, then God can bring you to that position one day. Because if you have it, and you're able to give it freely, in other words, $1 million is nothing to you. It doesn't control you. You control it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You don't control it. I mean, it doesn't control you. You control it. And for a person who is able to willingly let go of $1,000, or willingly let go of $100, or willingly let go of that new suit, willingly let go of that new shoe, willingly think about another to say, how can I be a blessing to this person, even though I will diminish, or my resources will diminish as I do that? Then you all of a sudden gain victory over that thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you, your victory is over $20.
Some of you, your victory is over used clothes. So the only thing you give away is used clothes. You don't know how to give new ones. So you buy it, you use it first before you give it away. So so when it comes to giving used clothes, you are very easy. It's easy for you. That's the grace you have. So you go to a shop, you can buy four. You must use them. In fact, if anything, you have to wear it first before you give it, at least once. That's the level of your victory. That's why you are able to practice that one easily. But there are some people who they just go to the shop, they just look, oh, this will look good on this person. They just buy. So their victory is, they have climbed a little bit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we urge Titus, as Pastor Blaise is urged, that as he has begun this grace in you, he will also complete it as well. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go on verse number 7. We're going somewhere. But as you abound in everything, church, as you abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. See that you do what? You abound in this grace also. In other words, as you have the spirit of faith, as you have the spirit of knowledge, a lot of you love knowledge. You are able to get the word. You are able to, absorb things and you just have a certain comprehension. You love the word of God. For some of you, this is your good time because you're learning. Some people don't want this one. Just take me faith, pastor. Just build me, pump me. Let's do great things. As you abound in that, people, it's in diligence. And we're, oh, pastor, we love you. I love you. We love you. And they see you once every so often. Oh, pastor, we love you. You know you're my pastor. You know, we just love you. As you abound in all of that, the Bible says, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, don't leave this one behind and begin to hold on to some other things. As you grow well-rounded as a believer, as a Christian, see that you grow, you increase in this grace. Let your spirit of generosity increase. Hallelujah. As you abound in church attendance, let this grace also abound in you. Let this spirit of generosity abound in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you abound in calling people, checking on them, seeing how they are doing, let the grace of giving also abound in you, that you can sit and think about people and do something for them. As you abound in the grace, your testimony now, you are favored. As you abound in favor, oh, pastor, the Lord just blessed me with this. Oh, pastor, I was just this, and they gave me promotion. Oh, pastor, this. Oh, you know, they just opened the door for me. See that you abound in this grace also, that you also open doors for others, and that you think about others, that you give to others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See that you abound in this grace also. You know, if you look, you'll find out that there are a lot of opportunities to give. A lot. A lot. I was at a hotel recently and when we left our room, it wasn't scattered. So we didn't expect that, you know, housekeeping would do anything there. And when we came back, we had met the bed and cleaned around. In fact, if we saw them, we would have told them not to even worry themselves throughout our stay. The next day, again, the same thing. Notice that. So when we're leaving, I like, these people are working. You might as well leave them some money. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. But then I didn't have cash. And I knew that I didn't want to go leave it for somebody at the front desk. And so I had to drive to an ATM, found an ATM, withdrew money, and came. And then I could not get into the room because we're checked out already. But thank God there were people in the hallway cleaning. So I asked until I found a lady who was this. Just gave it to her. She wasn't expecting. See that you abound. If you look carefully, you will find out there are people you can be a blessing to. In different ways. In different ways. There are opportunities you can practice giving. Many around you. See that you abound in this grace also. Tell your neighbor, see that you abound in this grace also. Abound in this grace. It's a very useful grace. It's a very important grace. be a giver. The spirit of generosity. The spirit of giving. The grace of giving. See that you abound in this grace also. Verse number 8. We're going to verse 15. Then I'll read one other chapter of scripture. And then I'll say a few things and we'll close. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, I speak not as a commandment, but I am doing what?
Testing.
Tell somebody testing. Testing. You know what? If you've ever been at an event or at a function, or then there are these MCs that they set up microphones. You know the thing they always say? Testing, one, two. They test and they walk around. Testing. What are they testing? They are trying to make sure that it is working and that it is working appropriately. So even though you are hearing it working, they walk around. Testing, one, two. You know, they are testing. They are testing. So Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. In other words, I'm using the others to stir you up onto good works. I'm talking to you about the Macedonian church so we can test the sincerity of your love, that you profess your love for God, your love for His work. So as they do, I want to see that you do also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are some of you, you're in relationships, you've not given gifts for a while. This is challenging you. Go do something. Amen. We're testing the sincerity of your love. Yes. Because whether you like it or not, the other person is thinking like, okay, as Pastor Blaise was saying, are you the selfish kind or are you the giving kind? It's testing the sincerity of your love. So I know things are not perfect right now and we don't have everything together, but in the little that we do have, are you thinking about me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm preaching good. Thank you for that reminder. I'm preaching really good. Amen. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love. Testing the sincerity of your love. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse number 9. And I want you to see this. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. I know sometimes in church we have bastardized this passage in order to raise money and to say, you know, this down. In all reality, he was rich that he had all of heaven. He was rich in the sense that he is God. He emptied himself of divinity so that he can embrace humanity, the filth and depravity of humanity, so that for his poverty in his, he became a child. He became human, subject to sin like us. So that through his poverty, through his depriving himself of the spiritual realities of who he is, we might become rich in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can be spiritually rich. Now, but you also see the context of that passage. It's talking about, the context of it is actually talking about giving. So they are using the spirituality to be able to display to you that God emptied himself. He left heaven, the comforts and confines of heaven, and he came to earth. And he became like man, that was subject to all the elements of nature, the cruelty of man, the hatred and the bitterness of man, so that we can experience the glory of heaven. Oh, what manner of love there is. That is too much. It is too much. Too much beyond comprehension. You know his grace. So he demonstrated his grace. He had a grace. He had a spirit of giving. You know the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet he gave, he emptied his heavenly account and deposited it on the earth so that we earthly people, through him, might become rich and become heavenly. No wonder the Bible says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. That's your reality, even right now that you are. Amen. Amen. That's the riches of his glory that is emptied unto us. Verse 10. Let's go. Let's go on. You see, when you start teaching, time just goes. If I was shouting and jumping, I would have already been tired and sweating. Yeah, but it's all right. And in this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. It is to what your advantage that you continue to do what you began to do and were desiring to do. A lot of people desire. You know, the new year is coming. People set goals. Like right now you hear this, somebody like, oh, I'll become a more giver starting January 1st. Start today. I'll become more generous. I'll take my wife out a little bit more. I'll give to my friend. I'll think about some people around me. Start looking. Start now. Don't wait January 1st. January 1st is a date. Today is a date too. You can begin now. He said, as you were desiring, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began, but were also desiring to do a year ago. Let's go on to verse 11. But now you also must complete the doing of it. Tell somebody, complete it.
Complete it.
Complete it. You made a pledge. Complete it. You had a desire. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Complete it. It is to your advantage. But now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. As there was a readiness. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. And remember, I said that you can learn giving, right? So as I'm talking right now, some of you are learning generosity. Yes, you're learning. Now, if you grow up in a house where the parents are generous, by default, the children begin to learn. Because an atmosphere is created. In our house, we went to church. We didn't have teaching like this. We had religion. It was practice. We went every day. When we're going to church, my mother makes sure everybody, you have your offering with you. And, you know, and church too was like, you know, the one in the Bible where they were selling things. So sometimes some of us, in that naughtiness, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will take it out. So sometimes you go and change your offering. Oh, yeah, no, let Pastor Blaze tell you what he did. We used to do that. That's, I know some of you were holy. You grew up fine. So let me tell you my own. So sometimes they'll give you an offering, like for Cameroon, for instance, where I came from. They give you 100 francs. You go and change it into 50-50. Then you go and give 50 francs as offering. Then you have another 50. You know that right at the end of church, there are those temptations. There are people selling, you know, sweets, Accra, and, you know, all the things. Candies. They are selling it by in front of the church. So you just come and buy. But sometimes you don't know you are buying. My mother is standing somewhere and just watching. So by the time you are done buying, you just hear, they hold your pants somewhere. So where was this money from? You see, now, that was teaching you, because you first go from practice, right? And then all of a sudden you find out that, you know, you start honoring. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Then by the time they give you a few whoopings, you learn that that one is sacred, is holy. Yeah. Because my mother would tell you, if you wanted to, you should have asked me. Instead of touching your offering. Until today, in my 30s, that stuck with me. From when I was still a little kid. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So giving can be learned. If you live in an atmosphere where people are generous, before you know it, you start inculcating the spirit of generosity and the attitude of generosity, and the grace of generosity becomes released upon you. So now that you're hearing this, It is time for you to start making sure that you, because there's a readiness, make sure you start practicing it. Let's go. Verse 12. I doubt that I will have enough time to finish this today. But since we don't have service on Wednesday, let Pastor Blaise just go a little bit, 10 minutes over. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you. I asked and answered. For if there is first a willing mind, a willing mind, so the spirit works with the mind. You make up your mind. Don't say, oh God will tell me. So, you know, sometimes people come to church, okay, I just go to church, I pray, and whatever the Lord tells me to do, I'll do. Okay. It's good. That's a good thing. But the thing is that all your prayers, the Lord has never told you to do more. It always goes less. So I was praying and I said, the Lord, who can I bless? And I looked. He's never told you to really bless somebody with a good thing. Let's do something good. He says, if there be a willing mind, so make up your mind. You can sit down and strategize and calculate and think, who can I give to? Who can I bless? You see that sister in church that you sit behind her or in front of her and you look at her clothes like, this one doesn't she have clothes. That may be the Lord telling you, go and buy clothes for her. Mama. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look at somebody, they have shoe. That may, the Lord may be telling you something. You see, if you find something you always complain about, you have the solution. Start changing it. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So God is not inducing you to do what he has not given you. He's asking you to do according to what you have. Work with what you have right now. If God cannot work with you on $100, it becomes difficult for him to work with you on $1,000. It becomes difficult for him to work with you on $100,000. And it becomes difficult for him to work with you on $1 million. Verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Okay. Now, in the context of church, understand this. If everybody gave in church, like Pastor Victor was spouting out some stats on Wednesday, stats of how people give, the percentage of people who give in church. If everybody gave here according to the ability, not that somebody, you know that the burden is spread. And then no one actually lacks in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
But because a few people hear this and practice it, so, he said, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burden. So, Paul was saying, I'm not telling you to carry now the burden of everybody. I'm saying that let it be a grace that is also complete in you also. Verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15. But by an equality that now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. And as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. That is quoting from the Old Testament. Yes. Romans chapter 12, and we'll close with this passage. Romans chapter 12, there were a lot of goodies, good things I wanted to say to you, but the scriptures are saying them on their own. Romans chapter 12, from verse number 3, verse number 4. Romans chapter 12, from verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. So this is to everyone who is here. Those who are sleeping, those who are dozing off, those who are awake, those who are happily receiving, those who are angrily receiving, those who are shutting it down. For I say by the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly means that you think with a clear mind. You're not influenced. You're not under the influence of anything. You think more soberly.
as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Let me talk about this sobriety. To think soberly. You know, sometimes in church, like, oh, well, they talk about church. Oh, no, they just want my money. I cannot give. You're thinking more highly of yourself. You've not been giving. The church has been functioning well. Now, your giving would help make us do more. But if you ever believe that you are the financier of God's work, you told yourself a lie. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm glad that I can be a channel that God uses to be a blessing. The same thing with people. If you ever believe that you, without you, some people will not leave, you told yourself a lie. Now, God could use you to bless people. Thank God for that. But it doesn't mean that you should think that now all of a sudden you are their Alpha and Omega. That you are their supplier, you are their source. No, you are a channel, not a source. And if you decide to close yourself and you start threatening them, you know, if you don't do this, I will not do because you know, even not because of me. God replaces you. Channel close. Other channels open because the source is bigger than any channel. So think soberly. Don't think more highly as God has dealt to each one a channel, a measure of faith. Verse number 4, real quick. Going somewhere. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. You see, the children today, they were talking about what unity and diversity in how they do things. And, you know, team sports, it's play. There are people who are better. There are people who play, who are strikers. There are people who are maybe finishers. There are people who are more skilled. The same thing in the church. The same thing in congregations. We will never be equal in our giving, in our doing, what is giving to one another. But you know what the problem is sometimes? Because we don't understand the spirit of giving. Or the spirit of generosity. So, I give a gift to Pastor Victor. Pastor Esther gives a gift to Pastor Victor. Sister Victory gives a gift to Pastor Victor. And by human disposition, because maybe Sister Victory's gift is bigger than mine and better than mine, then we now start having an inclination towards what? The person who gave more. You understand what I'm saying? And so then, in sometimes in congregations, we now have select seats for, okay, yeah, so we have people who is touched not. You know, you're here, okay, you give, okay, yeah, major giver. Mm-hmm. In fact, I heard the story of a minister who, when he preaches, he will go and ask the person who gives a lot, one businessman in church, like, was the message good? God forbid, I will never come ask you that. It means that you have bankrolled me. You have me in your pocket. So if you are going through a divorce, we cannot talk about divorce. If you have a drinking problem or a beating problem, we cannot talk about that because we are afraid of losing you. Oh no, we are free to preach the gospel and to proclaim the word of God freely. Amen. Amen. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Verse number 5. Help Pastor Blaise to close. For we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, the reason I'm reading this passage is because I want you to understand. Some people use this to say, I don't have the grace of giving. Okay? Some people use this to say, that's not my grace. But remember I told you that some people have a predisposition that is not a very generous one, right? So let's walk this passage. Let's eat this bone. Let's chew this bone a little. Let's walk it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Okay, good. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, like me, I'm a teacher. I have that grace to give. I have the gift of teaching. But do you know I developed it? I grew in my teaching. I used to preach. Parents, you'll be everywhere. Teachers don't go everywhere. You are not everywhere. You're not jumping from here. You take your time. You are building a mountain. You are like a trailer that is going up a hill. You're gradual, steady, slow. You're making steady progress. You're not a race car. Hallelujah. Vroom, vroom, vroom. No. We're not there. We're just He who exhorts in exhortation. There are some people, they talk to you, encouragement. You'll be so encouraged. He who gives with liberality. So some people say, aha, pastor, it says he who gives. Because, you know, I'm not an exhorter. You know, you're a teacher. This and that. You know, this and that. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So all of a sudden now, you found your passage. Now I will give you the teachers know how to will answer the question that you have not asked. We'll ask the question and answer it. So you found your passage to say, pastor, well, you know, it says, let us do according to the grace that is given to us. You know, in the proportion to our faith, right? Remember? Let's go back to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to some people, to each one a measure of faith. The right rendition of this, if you go to the regular King James, not the New King James, it says that he has dealt to each one the measure of faith. The measure. That's it right there. The measure of faith. Because the measure simply means it is the same measure God gave to every one of us. We all start from the same faith. It takes faith to be saved. It's the same measure of faith that brought you to the place of confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The same measure of faith. You had to come to believe that he died, that you need his salvation. Then you, by that faith, you acted. It didn't matter whether they preached for 1 hour or they preached for 10 seconds. The measure of faith was birthed in you. Now from that, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we all start with the same basic level of muscles. Look at faith like levels of muscles. As you begin to exercise that measure of faith, you begin to grow. Remember, you can grow in grace. If you have a grace of giving $10, just be consistent with it. Then one day, just decide, you know what, I'm going to break it out of this mold of $10. Do 15. Then one day, it's just like, you know, I'm tired. I've grown. I don't even eat $15 anymore. Now my eating is bigger. Move forward. That's how your measure begins to grow. Each one. And that's why it says, to he who gives with liberality. So it comes a point where, because you have so developed yourself, where money doesn't have control of you. You have control of it. So is it this? Let it go. The same thing when it comes to blessing people. There's nothing too big that you cannot give. You don't look at it. Do they deserve it? You just do. With joy. Whether they say thank you or not. If they don't say thank you, you are disappointed, but you still give. Hallelujah. The measure. So you say you don't have the grace of giving. I just showed you that you do. Have. What happens is that you have not developed it. Let me say three things and we close. Your practice of what you learn cultivates your spirit. That is your culture and your predisposition. Your practice of what you learn. So where you are right now, if you practice what you learn, it cultivates your spirit. Some of you, you have a habit of waking up at a certain time. You know, if you are in a church that prays, all of a sudden you find out you start praying a little more. You are in a church that dance, you find out you start dancing. You are in a church that celebrates, you find out you start celebrating. So your environment, all of a sudden, can you be in Tulsa and then Tulsa weather is not, if it's cold, you go outside, the cold is widespread. Hallelujah. You can't be in Tulsa and live under Houston weather. Impossible. So your practice of what you learn cultivates your spirit. Remember, I'm talking about the spirit of generosity. So you have the spirit of generosity already. But practice it. It cultivates it. It helps your spirit. It creates a predisposition in you. And when you are free from the entrapments of materialism, especially money, you become liberated from the control of resources. You didn't hear me? There was a woman, the president, the wife of a former president of a country. A country somewhere, I'm not going to mention the continent, but you all will know. She traveled to UK, to France, the private jet, went to shop at Gucci, Prada, and all those places, and Versace. When she was done shopping, it came to shoe, she had over 500 pairs of shoe. That day, they went shopping. When they were coming back, her bodyguards could not have space in the plane. They had to take commercial airline. Only her, the pilot, and her goods that entered. To go add to that. Somebody say entrapment. She can't wear all that. Just imagine, in 1 year, she's wearing one new shoe every day. For 365 days, the 500 pairs, she will not wear it. She will not go through it all. But yes, she was going to add more. She's entrapped. The tentacles of materialism has entered every vein. It takes that sound absurd to you? Yes. It's abnormal. Yes. That they come to a place where they've shopped so much that their bodyguards don't have place. The seats where the bodyguards are supposed to sit, they go take commercial airline. Now that's a height of madness, but they don't know. Because that materialism has entrapped, it has entered their brains, crawled, taken a hold, twisted their thinking. And then they think they are on top of the world. When you are liberated from the entrapment of materialism, especially money, then you become free. You become what? Free to give. You become free to give. And your condition is not what determines your generosity. It's not what you have or don't have that determines your generosity. You just do it. You do what you have. And that was what happened to the Macedonian church. There was a grace that was cultivated there. There were good Christians even in Corinth. But because the culture of that place was not the one of giving, was culture. You know, the Bible says, in that church they prophesied to where Paul said, let them prophesy one by one. Let one, the other ones prophesy. Even though the spirit of prophecy come on, you just sit, wait your turn. You know what happened? Because the culture there, prophecy kind of flowed in the spirit. So as I started practicing it just happened. It was just being birthed in people. Living word, let's birth generosity. Will you rise to your feet as we close? Be more thoughtful. I love this church. I love this church. I love everyone in this church, particularly the women. Amen. We just had a vision conference that wasn't too long. And the women in the church, you know, beyond all the registration that people registered for finances, you know, people were generous. You know, I was thinking about people were generous. They're like, oh, people were not generous. They're like, oh, so we are registered and we're still going to go cook for free. We're still going to do this. Some people we can ask, no. But these women, even when they register, they are still happy to go cook. And they do it. That's called generosity. And so when you sit down and eat that food, you become, you know, you are a beneficiary of somebody's generosity. Amen. Without burden on nobody but on themselves. Some of them come back from work and they're doing it. Some of them, they are doing it between things, juggling children, and they're doing it. Amen. And so I want to praise the women for their generosity in this church. Amen. Sister Sylvie Manchong, God bless you. I know you want to hide, but God bless you. God bless you. Everybody is blessed. Sister Sibi, God bless you. Amen. Mommy Estella, I was watching on Wednesday when I heard you talking. I was like, oh, how amazing. I just love your spirit. You know, I just love your spirit so much. This is a joy, you know, that you bring. I could talk to you about people
There's no way you go to Dr. Delia's house and you don't eat. I'm not talking about, she will look, she wakes up from sleep and she's thinking how to make sure that you are hospitable, you are taken care of. Now, food pantry is the one you all know here. I'm talking to you about one that I know in the house, in her house. Very resourceful. Even when she's not going to be there, she'll be fighting to make sure that this and that is there. And you're living, even if you do not plan on eating, you're living heavy, full. Plus take away. Amen. Let's practice. That's love. Is what? Love. You know, the students in this church, we recently had the church van, or the van that was donated by a student. So he needed transmission put in. I was hearing from somebody how that was all they had, his money. And they gave it towards the transmission. That's generosity. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I don't want to mention names for reason. Because I used to highlight people and just, and not because of anything, because I don't believe in putting people on the spot. I used to mention names, but then I find out people started victimizing some of those people. Because now they're not here, okay, you're a giver, they now come to you. They kind of corner you on the side. That's why sometimes I don't mention some names, different things. Amen. But let's just celebrate God for His grace. Oh, Father, we thank you for your grace. The grace. Your grace. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though He was rich, He became poor, that for our sakes we might become rich. Lord, we give you praise for your grace. The grace of this season, the season of Christmas, the season of giving, the season of generosity. Oh, we thank you for your love. For you so love us, so loved us that you gave, so loved us that you gave, so loved us that you gave, that you came in your Son Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for this year. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Oh, mighty God, we worship you. Zira bakataya. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Brade kalara badosha. Man celebregere abalorosha. We bless you, Father. Oh, we bless you. Amen. You know, as a pastor, let me say this to you. I was not here for almost 8 months. And you would think that there will be a day when the giving in this church will go one way. I'm not just talking about even just the giving, or that you would think that the finances will go one way, or that there will be a day when we don't pay our bills. Not once was a single bill late. And this year, now let me tell you this. This year we had some unusual bills. There was a time when our water bill here, because of leak, that was hit $1,000 something a month. There was a time when the electric bill here, $1,000 something a month. Some of you don't realize this. This church, just to function, just to stay open. I'm just talking just about on bills alone, on a monthly basis. Upward of $6,000 on a monthly basis. Upward of $6,000. Now, 6,000 is small, but I'm saying upward of 6,000. If it's too little, whether it's insurance, I'm just talking about basic things. And not we didn't do any special fundraising. Didn't do any special thing. Because they're generous people here. Whether it's your $20 you gave, was your $10, was your 5 cents you gave, you're generous. And we just want to thank God. So when I'm talking about this, it's not, we're not trying to tell you this and no. It's part of a teaching. We have to teach it. We have to make sure that you are equipped so that you know the why and you begin to do it with the blessing of it. Amen. So today being the last Sunday we have technically, well, we have Sunday next week, but I just wanted to thank you, Living Word. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you. And this, what I talk about with us functioning here, this is with us having some other mission churches that we support, that we've supported this year, that we've done things for. There was a time when the church in Sierra Leone came, when they were about to start school, and I just felt we had to give them some thousands of dollars to help them to deck their things. And we didn't have a lot. And we did. Not because we had too much. and amazing. Amazing. God is good. Amen. And I know that God will make all grace abound towards everyone for every good work. He will make all grace abound to you. That He will supply seed to you. He will supply bread for your food. You will never lack any good thing. In the name of Jesus, He will raise men and women to think about you, to remember you, to give to you in your seasons of need. In the name of Jesus, before you pray, you will be answered. Before you call, God will send help from above. In the name of Jesus Christ, His glory will be evident in your life everywhere you go. You will never have a better yesterday. In the name of Jesus Christ, the glory of God will move you from grace to grace, from glory to glory. You will go from one step of supply, one step of grace, one step of control, one step of resource to another. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you richly. His blessing that maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. May it abound in your life. May it abound in your accounts. May it abound towards everything for you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we are going to close now. I want to thank all of you who are watching online, who are tuning online. This has been a blessing to you. Shared with somebody. But I hate to close without giving people the opportunity to receive the greatest gift that there is. It's called Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. For those of you who are watching or you're listening, some of you, because of shortcut, you say Merry Xmas. Let me help you here. Never, don't say Merry Xmas. X can be anything. You remember, you can substitute X in math with anything. Yes. So it's Merry Christmas. It is about Christ. Let the Christ be in the mouth. Merry Christmas. Amen. If you are here and you have never received Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, you've never invited Him, you've never asked Him to come in, you may be around church like I was. I grew up in church, but just never had received Him. I want to help you receive the greatest gift that there is. You may be watching online. I want to help you receive the greatest gift that there is. It is a gift of love. It's a gift of Jesus Christ. It is Him emptying Himself of His riches that you and I, through His poverty, might become rich. If you're here and you're not born again, will you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you, pray with you. Anyone here who is not born again, you want to be born again. Or if you're watching online and you want to be born again, you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, will you just indicate to us, write to us online, wherever you are. We would love to pray for you, pray with you. If you're within North America and you need a Bible, we would gladly supply one. It will be part of our generosity to you. We will gladly mail one to you as a gift for your new birth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even in here, we are all family, as no one indicated. But if there be anyone who, Lord, you're tugging on their hearts, here or online, Jesus, you gave yourself. You became a sin that we, through, we might become righteousness. Help these individuals to come into that working knowledge with you and to live for you forever. Amen.